excited about that. You're stuck with me three times today, though, so I want to warn you beforehand. Sunday morning Bible class, we will talk about the book of John. I would really like to finish the book of John before Don gets here. So we're going to study it Sundays and Wednesdays. Just want to give you a heads up, and maybe we might finish before he arrives. Tonight, what is in the bulletin is not correct. I changed my lesson, and I want to tell you why. I received a message last night from a thing that is happening at a sister congregation not very far away. This congregation practiced church discipline exactly the way the Bible says to practice it, and that has been put up on Facebook, and the church has been shamed. And at 8 o'clock last night, it had been shared over 200 times by people bashing the church for simply doing what the Bible says. So tonight, we're going to shift gears, and we're going to look at that. And we're going to look at what the Bible does say about that topic, and hopefully every one of you will be back, and we can study that together. We've been in a series of lessons over the last few weeks, and we've titled this series Upside Down. And we've based this series upon Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20, and again in verse 23, where we live in a world just like they did at that time. People called good things evil and evil things good. People would justify anything, according to verse 23, for money. And that's the way it is today. If it can pad people's pockets, they can find a way to make it okay. And the people that lead us and are all around us in our society today, they want to normalize things that are not right. And we talked about the fact that as the church, we've got to get busy. If we don't combat these things, the world is teaching our young people that all of these things are perfectly normal. We've looked at abortion. We've looked at the LGBTQ thing that's going on in our country, homosexuality. We looked at that last week, and abortion the week before. This week, we're going to look at something that has purely disgusted me. And I didn't have any idea, really, how bad the things are. I think everyone in this audience realizes we live in a very sexualized society. We can't watch any kind of TV without it being there. Someone told me as we left last Sunday, said we saw a commercial selling Ritz crackers, and it was a homosexual couple selling those crackers. You see, the media and everything around us, they want to indoctrinate us with this. And the more they push it, the more it seems okay. But what I'm going to talk about today has brought me no joy. Brethren, this is real. And I think sometimes we don't think about it. And we don't want to think about it. And I can assure you today, I don't really want to talk about it. I've not wanted to read all the things I've read over the last few weeks. I don't want any part of that. And what I would like to do is just sit in my bubble and think, you know, I live right here in Middle Tennessee. And, you know, we're in the Bible Belt, and man, we've got church people all around us, and we just don't deal with that. But you know, that's not true. I want you to look at those pictures just for a moment. I want you to look at that little boy and that little girl, and you look at the tears running down their face, and I want you to think about those pictures during this lesson. Somebody might say, preacher, that's not what you talk about on a Sunday morning. I think it needs to be what we talk about more. Not what we want to talk about, but maybe what we need to. Because my job is to educate the church. Brethren, we need to know. Brother Ronnie just read Matthew 18 just a moment ago, and that scripture would teach us that people that do such things as this, the Bible says you would be better off to have a millstone hung around your neck and cast in the bottom of the ocean. And I don't know if any of you have seen a millstone. I know where several are right now in different locations in the woods. But they're a huge stone that they would grind that meal with. And if you had one hung around your neck, you would have absolutely no possibility of getting free. Jesus is serious. In fact, the Bible tells us the devil's like a roaring lion. He walks around and he's seeking to devour someone, and don't you think the devil uses this to get people?
Don't you think the devil uses this tactic to draw people to him? And the more that society is depraved, the more people the devil has. In church, we need to see that. Do we not understand that Paul told us in Ephesians 5 that we can't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness? But church, we've got to expose them. We've got to take those things that nobody talks about, and we've got to shine a light on it. He says some of those things, verse 12, are shameful to even speak of. And no doubt this morning it is shameful to even talk about the things that are going on in our society. But church, the Bible says we've got to make it manifest by the light. And we are the light of the world, right? That's what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. We're the light. So if we don't expose these things, who will? Because I'm going to tell you something. The media doesn't. Do we know who this guy is? Probably everybody does, right? Jeffrey Epstein, and we've heard a lot about him. And man, there's all of these things going on about all of these people that went to what our society today even calls Pedophile Island, where all of these things took place. But here's the problem. Our society is trying to make this type of behavior normal. This is what people say. This should just be part of the gay movement. It shouldn't be different than anything else. And if adult people want to have that type of relationship with a child, they say, that's okay. That's okay. And the media is pushing these things. These are headlines. Well, you know, is it just a sexual orientation? You know, this thing's just like being a lesbian or a gay or trans. It's just another one of those things. You watch what I'm saying. There's going to be another letter in that movement we talked about last week. You wait and see. Now, don't you look at this, and why is the conservative people obsessed with pedophilia? They think people that are conservative thinking are crazy. Why is it that we have such a problem with things like that? They want to know. Well, I think you know the answer. Look at this article in a news. I'm not a monster. This virtuous pedophile reveals he is not ashamed of being sexually attracted to children as young as 3. And you say, that is horrible. Todd Nickerson from Tennessee. That's home, right? That's home. Look at this article. The creepy conservatives' obsession with Netflix's Cuties. You ever heard of that show? It made some headlines not too long ago. And man, I got rid of Netflix. I don't want any part of that garbage where they take these young girls and they make them symbols of sex, if you will. And they flaunted that in front of everyone. And do we have a problem with that, church? But yet people look down upon, we're creepy. We're creepy because we have a problem with things such as that. I want to show you something. As I researched this, something kept coming up over and over again. And this is what it was. You ever heard of this? This is the North American Men-Boy Love Association. You ever heard of such a thing? And this whole group is set out to make it okay for that type of thing to happen. In fact, I've got this up there, and you probably can't read it. But it says, welcome. This thing was formed in 1978. It was inspired by the success of a campaign based in Boston's gay community to defend against a local witch hunt. They call people against such things as this as being on a witch hunt. And they say their goal is to end the extreme obsession of men and boys in mutually consensual relationships. Are you sickened yet? Are you outraged yet? Well, that's our world we live in. They want to build an understanding and support for such relationships. They want to educate the general public on the benevolent nature of man and boy love. They want to cooperate with lesbian, gay, feminist, and other liberation movements. And they want to support the liberation of persons of all ages from sexual prejudice and oppression. And I could go on and read this to you, but you would be very, very nauseated. I'll lay it here. If you want to read it, you're more than welcome to. But it is a sickening thing. What is man-boy love, they say? Well, simply at the bottom, it's the love of a man for a boy and a boy for a man, enjoyable, consensual, and beautiful. Are we in an upside-down world? You realize there's a female thing pretty much the same? And this is all over our world. This is a cartoon from their website. And the cartoon is designed to make fun of what we say is right. They say, well, we say that's grooming. They say, oh, that's not grooming. That's just love. And this is abuse, but they're fishing together. And that's just great. And they're in bed together. And conservative person would say that's trauma, but they're not portraying it that way. And then they question, is this justice when the boy is left without this man because he's in jail? And they're saying those things shouldn't happen. I'm glad that people are prosecuted for doing things like this. You know, this is one of those things where I understand vengeance belongs to God, but boy, it sure would be hard if you to allow God to do that, if you found someone doing something like this. Don't you look at this. Not very long ago, this was a toy. This was a toy at Walmart. And this toy was designed with a button on this girl. And you see where the button is. And when you push this button, the toy would giggle. Now, what's that pushing? What are you trying to teach people? What has our society come to stoop that low? This country should be better than this. But we live in an upside-down world. People call good evil and evil good. Brethren, we're in trouble. The more I researched this, and I didn't just go to one place. I went to several places. And I want you to see a few things. There are more than 42 million survivors of sexual abuse in America. You realize that? Right now, there's over 42 million people that have survived this, that have come through it and on the other side of it, and this has happened to them in the past. Why don't you look at this? And everywhere I look, same number kept coming up. One in three girls in this country are sexually abused before they're 18 years old. You say, nah, that's not right. That can't be true. Sadly, it is. One in five boys are sexually abused before they are 18 in this country. So if you put those two together, that means every time you have four young people together, chances are one of them has had this happen to them. Does that open your eyes? What opened mine? I had no idea. You know, I would have guessed one out of 50. I guess I live in a bubble. I never dreamed. But that should open our eyes. One in five children are solicited sexually while on the internet before the age of 18. Do we grasp that? Do we understand that? I told you guys just a couple weeks ago about, my wife told me the story about a young boy that was playing Fortnite with his friends, and a man was messaging him and forced him to send pictures of that little boy to the man because he told him he would kill his family if he did not do so. He's doing something innocent, right? You know, my kids play those games, and are we aware? Do we get it? I hope so. 30% of sexual abuse, nobody ever tells anyone. So that means that person has to carry that weight for perhaps the rest of their life. Knowing what happened, but so ashamed that they don't want anybody else to know, so they never tell anyone else. Boy, that is sad. Nearly 70% of all sexual assaults, now that's including adults and everything, 70% of sexual assaults happen to children under 17. Well, that should open our eyes. I just don't get it. How has society, how have we changed so much? How have we gotten here? I don't know. If you look up and you're trying to maybe figure this out, now I've got your attention and you're terrified and you think, well, how do I know? Who do I look for? Here's the problem. If you research and you figure out what is the profile of a pedophile, how are you going to know that somebody's doing this? And, well, they don't look any different than anybody else. Well, they're not a specific age or race or religion or career, and maybe it would be what you would call a nice person, right? Someone that you would think, oh, they would never do this. You know all the things the Catholic Church has gone through in the last several years? Did people in their wildest imaginations dream that all of these so-called priests would be the one molesting all of these young people? No. And that's why it blew up so big, because people didn't see it. And it's hard to see. How do you know? What do you look for? It's hard. But I want to show you some more things. 30% of the time that a child is sexually abused, it is by a family member. 30% of the time. 60% of the time, it is by someone that is a family acquaintance, a family friend, someone that you associate with on a regular basis. But only 10% of the time is it someone that what we think we need to be looking for, right? What we think we need to be looking for is that guy we see on the TV shows that, man, he's just a predator and he's out to get. That's only 10% of the time. That's the case. Church, we've got to wake up. Got to wake up. You know, we looked at that cartoon earlier where they make fun of this, but what is grooming? Well, it starts, you want to build a relationship, you know, maybe with that child, and maybe they want to gain the trust, and maybe they want to seek some alone time with that child. And, you know, maybe then this thing doesn't take place all of a sudden, because you don't just all of a sudden do things like this. You know, maybe it's a gradual process that builds up, and the child is coerced into doing things and coerced into being silent, and maybe they're promised certain things, or maybe they're threatened in certain ways. And there's so many things. There's so many things. And you can read all of these, but for time's sake, brethren, we've got to go. How do we protect them? We got to be aware, church. We've got to be aware. You know, I've got 4 children, and mine are almost grown now, but if the good Lord's willing, I hope in a few years I've got some grandchildren, and I've got to be on guard. And what do? Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence. And no doubt I'm to guard my own heart, but as a parent or a grandparent, are we not to guard the hearts of our children? Are we not to be on the lookout and do everything that we can possibly do to keep these things from happening, especially online? Especially. Do you know how easy these things are now? You know, if you take 20, 30, 40 years ago, maybe these things weren't as easy. And maybe that's now why we have such a problem with this. People are predators, and they meet someone online, and they will travel thousands of miles to meet that child to do things such as this. Just because of all the garbage on the internet. Brethren, we've got to have an open line of communication with our children. You got to. And that's hard sometimes. I know. I know it's hard, especially when you have teenagers to try to communicate openly. And that's just not, you know, when I was a teenager, I didn't want to be open with my parents. I didn't want to tell them anything. Brethren, we've got to get them to see this is serious. And we've got to be willing to talk about this. And parents, we've got to come across to our children that if something like this happens, that they can come to us. And we're not going to explode. If our children think they could bring something like that to us and we're just going to blow up and yell and scream, and they're not going to want to talk to us. We've got to make sure they understand, you can tell me and I will help you. Brethren, we've got to teach them about inappropriate behavior. We've got to tell them what it is. We've got to tell them, you don't allow anyone to do this. You can't. You got to teach them that it is wrong. And no matter what anyone says, no matter what the media says, society says, what the internet says, it's wrong. And it can happen. And then parents, we've got to recognize maybe when something's not right. Well, our job, especially as fathers, is to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We are to guard the heart of that child, and we need to watch out who they are with, what they are doing. Brethren, we need to recognize when there's something wrong with our child, when maybe that child just becomes a recluse and pulls away. And as parents, we've got to see, maybe this is not normal. And maybe I need to figure out if there's something going on, maybe it's nothing. Brethren, I don't want to be the one that just says, oh, well, don't worry about it, and it is something. It's serious business. We need to understand that. I want to read a little bit of something for you. You write this down, and you go home and look it up, because I'm not going to read it all. It's 3 pages. But Brother Eric Lines wrote this. And I want you to hear at least a little bit of what he has to say. But it is an excellent article. Eric says, when my mother was a child, she was manipulated and sexually abused multiple times by 2 different men. One whom she highly respected. Like so many children, she did not tell anyone about the incidents until several years later. She attempted to block the memories from her mind as if they never occurred. To this day, she is convinced that one reason she recalls so little about her childhood is because for years, beginning early on, she suppressed her memories. He says, when my first cousin was growing up, she was sexually molested numerous times. From what I understand, she was the target of a man whom she trusted from the time she was a toddler until she was a teenager. No one will ever know how deep her emotional scars are or were, or the extent to which her perpetrator's act warped her mind. What I do know, he says, is that she died of an apparent suicide, a drug overdose, years later. Then he says this. He says, when I was about 7 years old, he says, I recall a respected leader in a local church asking me to accompany him into a small restroom in the back of the church building. He says, I do not recall why he wanted me to go with him, but I did not feel any need to doubt that he had a good reason. He says, sadly, once in the restroom, he locked the door with a high-reaching latch. He lowered his pants, and he asked me if I thought there was something wrong with his private parts. He said, I said no. And immediately I stood next to the door and I waited for him to let me out. Before leaving, he looked at me and he said, don't tell anyone about this. He says, for about 3 years, I never said a word to anyone about the incident. I don't know why. He says, I do not remember being scared after it happened. He says, I do not recall continually thinking about it. I suppose I suppressed the very awkward memory. He says, somewhat like my mother had done years earlier with her much more painful memories. One night while on vacation, during a conversation which one of my older brothers had about the man in question, I mentioned the incident. My brother immediately took me to our parents, and what I eventually learned was that my brother had been a target of the same homosexual pedophile on three different occasions. Isn't that sickening? I could go on. He says, recently I learned that an old neighborhood friend, a star high school athlete who went on to play college baseball, had returned to his hometown, met a 15-year-old boy online, drove 1,000 miles to the city where he lived, and assaulted him. He says, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a certified counselor, but I am a concerned Christian who has heard and seen enough to know that sexual child predators are dangerous, patient, methodical, manipulative, and can be found practically anywhere, from schools to churches, from office buildings to ball fields. He says, Christians must not walk in fear of evil, but we do need to be warned of wickedness. Church, that's serious, isn't it? I don't have time, but he's going to go on. He's going to talk about a man who was a pedophile, who was a homosexual pedophile, and this man was incarcerated for that, but yet this man was converted by Brother Eric, and he became a faithful Christian in prison. And he goes on to tell that this man has written Eric a letter, and this man tells things that we need to be on the lookout for, things that we can see maybe in behaviors that could prevent things like this from happening. And I want you to read it. Write this down. Go home today, get on their website, and read it. I want to read this last part, and we'll move on. He says, may God help us all to be part of the solution. He says, we need not be suspicious of every person who hugs our child or buys our kid an ice cream cone. We must not accuse anyone falsely. He uses Luke 3, verse 14. We must not leave love behind, but rather remember that love is ever ready to believe the best in every person. That's 1 Corinthians 13:17, and that's exactly what it teaches. But at the same time, he says, Christians must be alert and watchful. He says, we must take great care of the children whom God has given us, because they are like our arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior. That's Psalm 127. He says, and we should be wise enough not to stick our heads in the sand, but learn from those like John, and that's the man that was converted, who are willing to help shed light on the dangerous, dark world of those sexual predators. Does that open your eyes? That's somebody you guys know. That's somebody that stood right here and preached sermons. And he wrote, I know that had to be horribly difficult to write that article for the public, but he did, because he wants to help. Let's move on. That's half my sermon. In this part, I'll go quickly. What about this? You ever heard of this? It's in the news more all the time, right? What is human trafficking? It's when people are sold into modern-day slavery. And sometimes this is people are sold into forced labor, but a lot of times it's people are sold into sexual servitude. And you realize that human trafficking, that's the second best way to make money other than drug trafficking. If you're going to be a criminal, it's where you need to be. They make the money. I think it's a $99 billion a year industry, human trafficking. And I'm going to tell you something, and some of you may think I shouldn't do this. I made my girls watch this movie. In fact, we watched this movie Friday night. I studied for this lesson, right? And I wanted to watch it. If you've not watched it, make them watch it. Make them watch it. It's a movie about a man that his daughter goes on a trip, and she is taken, and she is sold into this industry. And I don't have the special skills to help get you back that he does. And the movie ends well for his daughter, not for a lot of the other ones. Brethren, I want to see it's real. But see, here's what we do. Just like Eric said in his letter, Sometimes we bury our heads in the sand and we think, I know that happens. And yeah, in that movie you just showed, that was in Paris. That wasn't right here in Tennessee. And you know, I understand that happens all over the world. But again, preacher, we are right here. And we don't really have to worry about that. I want to tell you it happens here too. It happens here a lot more than you think it happens here. In fact, I want to show you a few things. This is an article just from 2020. Families are selling their children for sex is the most common form of human trafficking in East Tennessee. Do you realize that? That's last year. And that's the most common way it's happening over toward Knoxville. Well, what about this? This is in 2019. 16 men arrested for human trafficking in Rutherford County. Well, that's not too far away, is it? Well, what about this one? 14 arrested in Tennessee sex trafficking ring. This is December of last year, just a couple months ago. And this was based out of Chattanooga. Well, that's not too far away, is it either? No. But what about this? What about this? This was 2019. This is a Channel 4 story. And they're trying to bring awareness to what happens with human trafficking. And I put the link up at the top, and you can go look this up. But it's talking about the counties and those counties and how many cases they have of human trafficking in that county. And I want you to notice right there is Putnam. Oh, you say, well, I understand Shelby and Davidson and Knox and all. They got 100+. Putnam's lit up too. Putnam's in the orange. And that means anywhere between 16 and 25 cases of human trafficking. Is it right here at home? Yes, you better believe it's right here at home. And brethren, if we are not on guard, I mean, what if it happens to you? Here's what we do. We bury our heads in the sand and we think, that won't happen to me. That won't happen to me. But what if it happens to you? I don't want it to happen to you. I want you to be aware of the world that we live in. I want you to look at this chart. This is the increase or the decrease in human trafficking cases by state. This is the change between 2017 and 2018. You say, well, I don't see Tennessee on there. Well, that's because I blew it up. And you can look at some of these places. It's went up over 100% in some of these places. But we get down here to Tennessee. The national average is this thing has increased 32% in 1 year. And that was a few years ago. I don't know what it is now. They don't have the numbers yet. But look at Tennessee. We've increased 43.5% from 2017 to 18. Don't you think we're continuing to increase? Yeah. Brethren, we've got to take it serious. You know, people have taken this virus serious. And you have taken all sorts of precautions. You have been on guard. You have done your very best to keep from getting a virus. But brethren, this should scare you far more than COVID. I can get COVID, more than likely I'm going to get better. More than likely. If somebody takes one of my children, I'm not going to get better. I'm not. Somebody takes one of your children from this assembly today, I'm not going to get better from that. I'm not. I don't want it to happen. And unless we educate ourselves, church, unless we do just like the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16, unless we are watchful and we are standing firm in the faith and we just grow up and be what we are supposed to be, things happen. And you may do everything you can and things may still happen. But church, I don't want it to be because I didn't stand up here and warn you. I want you to know this is a serious, serious problem. We live in a perverted world, a perverted society. And I'm not telling you to accuse everyone that you see and don't trust. Oh, I don't want you to be like that. But I want you to keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. Pay attention to what is going on. Brethren, stand up. Every sermon in this series, I'm going to put this slide. I want you to stand up against it. I want you to speak out against it. I want you to warn other people about it. I just want you to be on guard.
Church, I appreciate your attention this morning. And I know, again, it's not a lesson that's going to leave you here feeling rosy. You know, and I'm sorry for that. But brethren, I want you to leave here saying that I didn't realize. That opened my eyes. This morning, we're going to sing a song of invitation. Maybe this morning there's someone here who has strayed away from God. Maybe there's someone here that has committed some of these things. I sure hope not, but I'm going to tell you there is forgiveness. There is nothing you can do on this earth that God won't forgive if you have a penitent heart. Nothing. You say, well, there's an unpardonable sin, and maybe this is it. No, we can talk about that sometime. This isn't it. You can get forgiveness. You can make a change in your life. The man in this article, he made a change. He made a change to help other people. You can do that today. Maybe there's something else in your life that's standing between you and God. Don't let today's sermon deter you from getting that right before you leave here today. I know sometimes it's hard to come forward on a day like today because you don't want people to think things like that. But brethren, we're the church, and we're not supposed to be like that. We're supposed to have your back. If we can help you, please come. If you're not a New Testament Christian, please become one today. Please believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Please be willing to repent of your sins and confess His name, and we will baptize you in water, and that is the gospel. That's the gospel Brother David talked about just a while ago in the Lord's Supper. That's the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection, you can reenact today, and you can become a Christian, and your sins can be washed away. Please, don't let today pass you by. If you need to respond, won't you come while together we stand and sing.